shall we now turn to our reading which we read, the second reading, 1 Corinthians, a letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we shall read verses 26 to 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 onward. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, had God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The title this evening is God Calls and Chooses the Foolish and Makes Them Saints. God calls and chooses the foolish and makes them saints. This is just amazing. God did not make you a saint because you were immaculately conceived, but even though you were foolish, even though you were weak and base and despised, and you were nothing. God does not make a person a saint because he or she is born in a certain religion. You may consider your religion to be the best and better than all. For God, all men are sinners, fallen, wicked, born in sin, and are utterly depraved. Friends, in order to be made a saint, you must be called, you must be chosen, and you must be separated and made holy. You must be forgiven of your sins and given the Holy Spirit. And this work of salvation is done by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says the heart of man is utterly wicked. Therefore, only God can call, God can choose, and God can save, and save to the end. Now, what type of people does the Lord God calls to be his people, whom the scripture calls saints? What type of people are these whom the Lord has chosen to believe in him? The scripture tells us in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you see your calling, brethren. The word calling means invitation. You see your invitation. So who are invited to come into God's kingdom? Let us read verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Not many wise men after the flesh, meaning not many skilled, not many experts, not many learned of the world are called and chosen to be saints. Not many philosophers, not many orators, not many theologians and scientists are called. In other words, the majority of those called are simple people, ordinary people. It is not saying that these experts and learners and philosophers and theologians and scientists are not called at all. They are also called, chosen, and made saints, made his people. But the majority of them are ordinary people. Now also among these called and chosen, there are not many noble. Noble, meaning people who are chosen, among them there are not many who are born rich or landlords, not many from the royal family, not many from the multinational businessmen or high-ranking politicians. Not that these are not called and chosen, they are also called. They are also chosen, but most of them are poor and average people. So who are called and chosen? Well, the Bible goes to say that these that are chosen by God are foolish people of the world. Foolish. Verse 27. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world. If you put these men and women, boys and girls, chosen by God in front of these wise and noble people, they will look like fools. In front of these wise, these experts and noble of high-ranking, rich, royal people, these ordinary people will look foolish. Take me, for example, and a person from a village who are called and chosen by God. Put us alongside some celebrity with their smashing fashion designer clothing. Or put me and this ordinary villager alongside some scientist or some great philosopher. We will look like idiots. Idiots. Our clothes and our looks, manner of talking will be rustic, of some countryside. Now here we call them freshy, isn't it? They have just arrived from wherever. Huh? Now look at our looks. And our knowledge of the world will be so little compared to these great minds. Of course, there are many scientists in different fields and even kings and politicians that have been converted to Christ. For Christ is the Savior of all. But by and large, the great number of them are from average or under average intellectual capacity. But this is the best part of God's calling. Why? Because if you go to see, the majority of the people of the world fall under average or average in their economic condition. Or intellectually, most fall under average or even under average. Majority of the people of the world are poor. Majority of the people are laborers. And this is why the labor union is the biggest and very powerful. And the Lord said that I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. The apostles in Jerusalem, following the command of the Lord, asked Paul that his work of evangelism, or rather in his work of evangelism, not to forget the poor. And this goes to show that God is not partial. He reaches out to the highest and to the least, not only to the privileged, but most of all to the underprivileged people. Christianity is not the religion of the elite, of the select few. No, it is for all. So why does the Lord choose foolish men and women? This is so that he confounds the wise. And to confound means to dishonor, to disgrace, to put to shame the wise. Is this real? Is this what the Lord God is saying? Is it true? Can this be true at all? To shame the experts, the great scientists, the very powerful people? Let us take the example of two men, that Jesus spoke about. The Pharisee, he was a learned man, a teacher of the law, a man having status in society, and he goes to pray. He prays, "Lord, I give money for the temple, I do good works, I fast, I am not like the publican, that foolish man who is there behind, the third-class citizen of the country, that uneducated person, that sinner, that outcast of society." Then Jesus turned the attention of his audience to the publican, that very person, that very man, that is Pharisee, condemned to be fooled. This publican, an ordinary person, Jesus says, he did not even lift up his eyes to God. He looked down and beat his chest and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a terrible sinner." And then Jesus asks a question to his audience. Whom did God approve? He asks them, did God approve the Pharisee who considered himself to be wise, clever, very religious, rich? Or did God approve the ordinary person, foolish in the eyes of the Pharisee? And they said to Jesus, the ordinary person, the publican. So in other words, this ordinary person had in him, by the grace of God, a higher standard of mind and character. His wisdom was in agreement with God's standards. This means Jesus was saying, what if you have all the education? What if you are a scientist, a celebrity, a prime minister, or a king, or a president, or a banker, or a pope, but you don't meet the standards and knowledge of God? You're nothing. All your education, your position in society is vanity. God, by giving this ordinary man his standards of thinking and living, brought disgrace to this learned man. God brought shame upon this rich, religious, and educated man. And the beauty of it is that people understood this. People understood this. They knew that this publican was more wiser than the Pharisee. Take the case of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite. Now, remember, these men in the time of Jesus, that is, the priest and the Levites, they were not only religious leaders, but they were also political leaders. They had religious power and they had political power. Now the priest, seeing the wounded man laying on the side of the road that was beaten and robbed by the bandits, so there he is, the man, he's lying on the road, he's beaten, he's bleeding. But this man passed by, the priest first passed by, and the Levite then passed by, but they left him there. They left him there to bleed and die. But then came the Samaritan, a man considered to be, foolish, unwise, not of a noble descent. And this man, when he saw that man being wounded, lying there, bleeding, he went all out of his way to care for this wounded man. He used his oil and all the wine that he had for the healing of this man's wound. He poured it on his wound. He cared for his broken body and downcast soul. He picked him up and put him on his donkey, and he took him to the rest house, and he paid all his expenses. He totally went out to care for him. And again, Jesus asked the people, Jesus asked the man that actually questioned him as to who is my neighbor. And this man replied, the one who showed mercy on this wounded man beaten by the thieves. People know in the depth of their heart who is wise, who is right, who is close to God. Dear friend, the world makes us think, and our own worldview makes us believe, that the most educated, the rich, the people born in the royal family, the celebrities and the religious are wise, but they turn out to be foolish. Foolish. They have no God in them. They do not have the higher standards of God in them. They have no wisdom and understanding. God puts them to disgrace, to shame, and they suffer a setback. Now you might say, so God favors the poor? And is he partial towards the poor? No, no, not so. Any person, it does not matter who he or she is, any person who thinks they know better than God, any person who thinks, rich or poor, that they are higher than God, God will put them to shame. God will put them to shame. God will disgrace them, and God will dishonor them. But in choosing the foolish, the weak, the base, despised, and those that are nothing, God wants to show that he has the power to make them wise. He has the power and the ability to make them noble, of high birth. And so the Bible says of the chosen of God, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The Bible says you are kings and priests unto God. This is indeed amazing. People think of you that you're foolish, you're useless, you're hopeless. But look what God can turn you out to be. A royal priest. Entering into holy nation. He makes you into a king and a priest unto God. The world and its privileges cannot bring fulfillment to a person's life. The riches and education cannot bring fulfillment to a person's life. And yet, politicians, psychologists, and all these men of high reputation, they think what makes people evil is poverty. Poverty. And here we are in the West. Huh? Even the children are so rich, they have a bank balance. They are so rich, they can go to work and make money after money. And what is the spiritual state of our children? Here in the West, what is the moral standard of the children who have enough to eat and over? Be careful. Compare with what the Lord is saying. The Lord is not a liar. Men are. You know Solomon? He was the greatest king of his time. He took upon himself to experiment all that the world holds in high esteem. Okay? He said, okay, let me try it out. But after doing all this, he did not find fulfillment. He did not. He tried everything under the sun. He entered in himself to the full in everything that the world offered him. He had thousands of concubines and hundreds of wives. He went into the depth of the intellectual world. He exercised his intellect to the highest. He got drunk and tasted all kind of wines and alcohol. He experimented everything under the sun. And he did this holding on to the wisdom that he had gained from God. He did not experiment and experience all this by losing his mind to it. No. You know, when a person takes, say, let's say drugs or whatever And then the first time he takes and he says, okay, let me think about it. Is it good? It is bad. And then he feels like taking more and more. And then he's gone. His wisdom is gone. He's just lost in it. He becomes a slave of it. Solomon did not do that. He did not become slave of anything. He did it retaining his mind, his wisdom. And if you can quickly turn to me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. This is what he says. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 3. He says, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, you see, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So he was experimenting. Will this really help mankind? You see? Well, please go home and read the whole chapter we have already read, but in the light of what we have been speaking. But then he comes to the end after experimenting everything in chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is his conclusion. He says in chapter 12, verse 12, and further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is his conclusion now. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into the judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In other words, what really matters is to know the will, to know the mind of God, to know the instructions, to know the command of God and live by it. This is wisdom. This is wisdom, dear friends. Now remember, this world is not your destination. This world is not your destination. You and every soul, me on this earth, has a destination. The master, the judge of that destination is the Lord Jesus Christ. The ticket master standing at the end of your journey is the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the journey, you'll be stopped by a barrier. If you don't have the wisdom of Christ in you, if you don't have the life of Christ in you, if your heavenly travel card, let us say, like the Oyster card, is empty, zero balance, you have to return to your own people who considered Christ to be foolish. And Christ's people to be foolish, weak and rubbish of the world. This has been your attitude all your life. You will have to return to such people. The destination for the proud, for the conceited, for the rebellious and ungodly without any faith is hell. You can continue to do whatever you want to do in hell. All the freedom that you demanded here on earth, you can have it to the full in hell. All that you were forbidden to do on this earth, you will be able to do it till it runs out of your nostrils and out of your mouth. So remember your calling, brethren. You and I were foolish, isn't it? You and I were weak. You and I were base. You and I were despised. You and I were nothing in the world. I don't know about you, but I was certainly nothing. In my own house, I was called a duffer. Duffer. You know the meaning of duffer, don't you? After studying for 6.5 years, even in the Roman Catholic seminary, they threw me out. And I said, well, will you give me in writing why you are throwing me out? They wrote, I was weak in studies. It took them 6.5 years to realize that I was unfit for studying. I admit that I am not clever. I admit that right now, brethren sitting in this congregation are far, far more cleverer than I am. But the truth is that the Lord my Savior has saved me and has enrolled me into His kingdom and has chosen me to preach the gospel. And He has done the same to you, dear friends. You see your calling, brethren, although perhaps you are base, meaning immoral, very low in your moral standards, and coward, and perhaps born of a shameful family, which means you were despised and considered as useless. Yet God says, you, I chose. You are nothing. Yet I choose you. But let us read verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. And the base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Did not Jesus the Savior say, I have come not for the righteous, but to save sinners, that they repent and enter into the kingdom of God? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, clearly said, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into kingdom of God before you. Before you. You see, dear friends, the harlots believed. Yes, the publican, the sinners, they believed. But those who thought they are wise, they are very clever, they have everything made up. Just yesterday, one man tried to put me down as to who is this God, who has written this, why are you believing, as if I have no brains. And he said he's a scientist. Oh, dear friends, but what will happen to you before you stand before God, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth? What will happen to you if there is no change of heart in you? If you do not have the standard of Christ Jesus? Now you might say, what is the use of God choosing such foolish, weak, base, despised, and good for nothing of the world? What good will it bring that God should choose such foolish people, base people, weak people, despised people who are good for nothing? Well, according to the Lord, according to His own inspired word, written in black and white, so that you can challenge Him and burst Him if you want to, He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound, to dishonor, to shame the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. This means God is doing this first and foremost for His own glory. He takes the initiative to save such men and women, boys and girls. It is His and His decision and His will alone for His glory, for His praise, for His honor. He says, I am the potter, you are the clay. I do whatever I want to do in heaven. Who can question Him? Can you question your boss? He'll kick you out. So He, the God, eternal, immortal, invisible, almighty, who are you to question Him? He does whatever He wants to do. And God does because He wants to put down the proud, the unteachable. If you are not going to learn, you are going to hold on to your pride and your own ways, if you are going to be rebellious and want to raise yourself higher than the Lord God Almighty, He says, I will put you down. So God does this all for His honor. But what is the benefit for those that are called and chosen? What is the benefit for us who are foolish? For those that He calls, He chooses, He saves and delivers in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow! He makes Jesus Christ their wisdom. You had no wisdom? You were foolish? You were base? No, doesn't matter. He makes Jesus Christ their wisdom, their righteousness, their sanctification and redemption, so that these saved have nothing to boast of themselves, but boast in the glory of the Lord. Let us read verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And now what is the word of God saying here? You and I, chosen by God, were foolish, were weak, were base, despised, and were nothing. But now we are given the wisdom of Christ. We are given the righteousness of Christ, the sanctification of Christ, and the redemption from Christ. All this that we have acquired is a continuous thing, ongoing thing. It is not a one-off thing. Oh, we must know what we have inherited in Christ, dear friends. You know, when you become rich, when money begins to accumulate in your bank, wow, you're not satisfied with it. You want more and more and more. And such should be our desire, to have the heavenly things, more and more and more, and not go back to the ways that we used to live. We must not go be like the dog that returns to its vomit, or the swine or the pig that returns to its dirt, muck. So, dear friends, this is an ongoing thing. Christ is the wisdom of all wisdom. There is nothing better in the world than to have the wisdom of Christ Jesus. There is nothing better in the world than to be right. We don't want to be wrong. The righteousness of Christ becomes part of the chosen people. There is nothing better than to be separated from the evil of this world. To be separated from evil. You know, millions of people are desiring to be separated from evil and from the slavery of evil. How many people are in bondage of sexual immorality, of drugs, of drunkenness, of telling lies, of defrauding, of beating their wives or their wife beating their husband? Oh, it's just going on and on. Look at the state of our children. They're cutting themselves. They want to commit suicide. It's too much. And they cannot restrain themselves from doing this. They are fed up. They are fed up. We want to be separated from evil. Oh, but they are searching for answer and solution in the wrong place. Totally wrong place. Christ is the only one that is totally separated from all evil. He is holy, absolutely holy. God gives His chosen the holiness of Christ so that we are separated from evil of this world. And finally, Christ Jesus becomes the redemption of the saints. He has redeemed us. He has purchased us for Himself forever. He not only redeems our soul, but He will redeem our bodies too at the end. And so our redemption will continue until we are given the exact body of the risen Christ Jesus. This is awesome. Awesome. This is what God has done in and through Christ Jesus to those that are foolish, weak, base, despised, and are nothing in the world. Now the benefits of the called and chosen saints does not end here. The Lord says, this will confound the wise. It's not only God who is going to confound them, but these will confound the wise of the world. These will dishonor and disgrace and put to shame the learned of the world. These will put to shame the mighty of the world. These will make the mighty and the wise of the world to nothing. Has this been proved in any way? Yes. Look at the mighty kingdoms like Rome and all the kingdoms that the world have seen. What happened to them? They are here today and gone tomorrow. These mighty empires are limited in their power. They cannot have their sovereignty all over the world. And even if they have it, it is only for a season, only for some time. Then they are broken and they are scattered like a chaff to become nothing. Look at Great Britain. The British Empire is now broken, despised, and believed to be nothing by whom they ruled over. It happens to every kingdom on earth. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ goes on and on. It is stretched out to every nook and corner of the world, and it continues to grow, and it will never come to an end. Read the prophecy of Daniel. Dear friends, Daniel prophesied hundreds of years ago, before Christ could come, that all these empires like the Babylon and the Greek and the Persian and Rome and even the present world will be destroyed, because Daniel sees, or rather the king of Babylon saw, a stone being cut out of the rock, and this stone which is so small comes and dash all these kingdoms, the statue, and the statue becomes into a chaff, and this still small little stone grows into a big mountain. That is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends. Well, take the example of the early apostles like Peter, Andrew, James, John, and so on. These were not learned men, no, but were mere fishermen and tax collectors. They were weak. They ran away from Jesus, leaving him alone in the hands of his enemies. They hid themselves for days, afraid that the authorities would come after them and kill them too. They were foolish. They walked according to the wisdom of the world. They could not understand the teachings of the wise teacher, Jesus Christ. They were base, cheating people and throwing their weight around. They lusted after power, wealth, and pleasure. They were nothing. Nothing. Yet we are told that they shook Jerusalem. They shook Jerusalem. They turned the world, the Middle East, Africa, and Europe downside up, even as far as India. These were men from Galilee in Israel. But the message they preached of the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his teaching, his miracles, his suffering, his death and resurrection, changed the minds and the hearts of the people all over the world. They did not go with sword and horses. No, they simply walked around, went and preached the gospel. There was power, not in themselves, but there was power in the name of Jesus and in the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. That message is called the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They became the witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me just a few minutes, dear brethren, have patience, and I will come to an end. This good news went with power, transforming men and women, boys and girls of every continent. People like them, poor and useless, and also those that were learned, strong, mighty, of noble descent, came to acknowledge that what they preached about Jesus was true, and it made them new persons. They forsook the ways of the world and accepted Jesus as their eternal King. Christ's wisdom, his righteousness and sanctification and redemption became theirs forever. The influence of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ was so powerful that not only Christ's disciples, but even the unbelievers submitted themselves to the wisdom of Christ and acknowledged that Jesus was a better way, a nobler way, a higher way. Well, let me quickly come to few men that I will mention whom God used, who were nothing. Okay, let's say, for example, John Bunyan. John Bunyan, he was a tinker, meaning he used to mend silver and brass vessels. He used to go from village to village and mend them, you know. But God saved this man. A sinner as he was, God saved him and God used him mightily. He wrote classic Christian literature, which became the textbook for the university. His books are read even till today. He himself never sat in the university, but his writings on Christ and the nature of man is read even today. Pilgrim Progress, if you have not read, take it up and read. What about William Carey? He was a cobbler. A cobbler, a mender of shoes. A man of such a low status, and yet he became a great linguist and translated the Bible and Bible portion in 35 Indian languages. He became a lecturer in Sanskrit. He started the movement to ban sati, bride burning, a terrible Hindu custom in which the wife had to be burnt alive when her husband died. And these are only two men mentioned. In fact, he even translated the Mahabharata in Bengali. But these are only two, but there are thousands of them all over the world in whom was the Spirit and is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, confounding the mighty, the learned, confounding those that believed that they were everything of this world. Take care, dear friends, as to what your attitude is towards God. We cannot forget the ordinary monk, Martin Luther. One single ordinary man, when the Spirit of Christ came into him, he lit the fire of the wisdom of Christ and Christ's righteousness and sanctification and redemption in the hearts of millions of people in the whole of European continent. And he brought the mighty Vatican to its knees. The popes and their pomps was put to shame, and they were put to dishonor and were humiliated when their lies were exposed. Luther was able to do this through the power of the Word of God alone, by Jesus Christ alone, by the grace of God alone, by faith alone, for the glory of God alone. Time is not enough to tell the mighty works, the unlearned, the weak, the foolish, the base, the nothing did in the name of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it continues still today in every part of the world. Let us wait, dear friends. Brethren, let us wait with great expectation, humbling ourselves before the Lord. Let us exercise His wisdom, His righteousness, His sanctification, and walk according to His redemption. Shall we pray?